And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You are not in spiritual fellowship with God until you choose to be placed in fellowship with him, to placing all your faith, your trust, your confidence in the one that he sent to save you, to regenerate you, to convert you, to give you the new birth. And that person that he sent is Jesus Christ. So coming into fellowship through Christ, getting saved through Christ, getting born again through Christ, getting regenerated through Christ, getting converted through Christ. Many different religious groups use many different words, but they all mean basically the same thing. Being restored to a condition you never had before, fellowship with Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, these words are written. God is faithful. Now when it says God is faithful, it's talking about the Father. But God is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when it says God is faithful, it's telling you that God is faithful, period. We are not faithful. We're born in a condition where no matter how hard we try, we cannot be perfectly faithful. When someone says he's been faithful to his wife, it means he's never cheated on her. But we can't be perfectly faithful because in our minds as males, sometime we're going to look at another woman and think some things that aren't in keeping with being faithful to our wives. So we can't be perfectly faithful. We fall short. But God is faithful. When God makes a promise, God always keeps it. There are no exceptions. And when God says he's going to do something for you or he's going to give you something, you can rest assured he will be absolutely faithful to do it. Nothing will deter him or deter him from his purpose. God is faithful. By whom? By whom refers to God. By whom you are called. God the Father and God as a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Regenerates men, saves men, converts men, gives men new birth, restores them to fellowship by spiritually calling them, touching their inner parts, their inner being, their heart, and saying, come from where you are now in unbelief. Come from where you are in non-fellowship with me. Come from where you are in darkness. Come from where you are now in spiritual death. Come from there to where I am. And let me restore you to fellowship with me forever. God is faithful by whom you were called. God is a spirit. He can only call you spiritually, or he calls you spiritually. Under the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. When you come and place your faith, your trust in Christ, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are immediately placed in an unbreakable fellowship with you that will never end because God is faithful to do what he promised. Now continuing in 1 Corinthians chapter 26, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I just read verse 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, Paul is writing to a church at Corinth. These are people who've already been regenerated, saved, converted, born again, whatever expression you want to use. These were people that had already been restored to fellowship with God. He said, for ye, and that ye is plural, Himaeus, for ye see your calling, brethren. What calling is he referring to? God is faithful by whom you were called under the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. He said, you understand your calling. You've answered the call. You've heeded the beckoning pull of God's Spirit. He said, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Does it mean that God's Spirit doesn't call them? No. This is in the past tense, inferring that they didn't answer the call. I'm called, past tense. It happened many, many years ago. I answered the call. Once you answer the call, you are one of the called. Called in the sense that you answered it. Why is it then that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men after the flesh, not many noble out of the flesh, why is it that they don't answer the call? It's because they consider themselves mighty, they consider themselves noble, they consider themselves wise, and to believe that it is necessary for them to be restored to fellowship with a God whom they actually question his existence is foolishness. It's foolishness to them. To believe that God would come into this world as a man and suffer and bleed and die at Calvary and pay the price for their sins so they could be restored to a fellowship with a God in whom they're not interested is absolutely foolish. But to those of us who have trusted in the Son that whom he sent and have yielded to God's Spirit when he called us into fellowship with him by receiving the sacrifice that he made in the person of Christ, to us it isn't foolish. We accept it. We understand that we're not mighty. We're not noble. We're not wise. We understand the only wise man who ever lived, the only perfectly wise man, was Jesus Christ. The only truly mighty man with all power in heaven and earth who ever lived was Jesus Christ. And the only truly noble man who ever lived was Jesus Christ. We acknowledge our weaknesses. We acknowledge our lack of wisdom. We do not think ourselves to be above other people. We simply respond to God's Spirit and trust Christ to do what we are helpless to do. Restore us to fellowship and trust God to keep us in fellowship because God is faithful. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Here's your restoration to fellowship. If you understand this, if you accept it, if you believe it, then you can know you've been restored to fellowship. Remember, he said, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Then in verse 26, he said, for you see your calling, brethren. Verse 30, but of him, of God the Father, who called you, are ye in Christ Jesus. God the Father put me in Christ Jesus many, many years ago when I realized I wasn't mighty, I wasn't noble, I wasn't wise. I realized I was a sinful, helplessly lost human being with no power of his own to regenerate himself, to save himself, to restore himself to fellowship, to be born again. And I simply trusted God to do what he promised through Jesus Christ. And I put all my faith in Jesus. He says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who, that is Christ Jesus, of God, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I'll guarantee you that unless your faith is in Jesus Christ, unless you're trusting him completely for your salvation, you don't have any of this. I have wisdom, I have righteousness, I have sanctification, and I have redemption. Why? Who of God is made unto us wisdom? Jesus is my wisdom. Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is my sanctification. And Jesus is my redemption. Because he is the one who restored me to fellowship with the Father. Because the Father sent him. The Father drew me to him. I answered the call of the Father. Saw my own lack of nobility, my lack of wisdom, my lack of might. And trusted God to save me from what I am. A helpless, lost, sinful human being. If you don't see yourself that way, you've got a problem. You don't know God. You have your own visual image of him. You have your own pictorial thing in your mind that you think God is like. But I guarantee you, you don't know him. Because the only way you can know God is when you see yourself as what you are, helpless. And you come to God trusting his Son whom he sent to restore you to an everlasting fellowship with the Father. And that's what salvation is. That's what being born again. That's what regenerated means. That's what restored to fellowship means. It's very plain. It's very simple. But people like to complicate things so they can work their own ideas, their own preconceptions into it. And that's not the way God deals with man. God deals with man direct by his Spirit, convicts them that they're sinful and lost. They need a Savior. And when they come to Christ, it's settled and it's all over. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, you've listened to me for the last few moments. And I want you to recall what I've said. Everything that I have said gives glory to God, gives credit to God, gives recognition to God, gives praise to God. God did it all in Christ. If you're saved, you can understand that. If you're not, it's like it's a mystery. And the only way you're going to understand what I've been showing you is when you realize that as God's Spirit calls, you are helpless. And you come to Jesus Christ to save you from what you have been since birth, out of fellowship with God, and you let God do the restoring on His terms, and His terms are only acceptable when you accept His Son. For it is through His Son that He has chosen to restore all fellowship. John 6:44-47. A different man writing by the same Holy Spirit talks about the same thing. John recorded the words of Christ in chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, verses 44-47. In verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're told, "For you see your calling, brethren." Well, what is the calling? Jesus describes it in John 6:44. "No man can come to me." That includes you, myself, or any other man. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." The Father, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Spirit of the Father draws you personally to Jesus Christ so that you can be restored to fellowship with God. And once you're restored to fellowship with God, He never breaks the fellowship. You can never be separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." Once the Father draws you, you answer the call in your heart and come to Christ seeking what He alone can give you, then here's what He says He'll do. "And I," personal pronoun, "I, Jesus Christ, will raise him up at the last day." You want to be assured of being resurrected from the dead? You want to have the absolute assurance that God is faithful, He'll never leave you nor forsake you? Then when God's Spirit deals with you, as He tries to draw you to receiving Christ, then give it up. Forget about your might and your power and your wisdom. You don't have any. And just come to Jesus as a small, frightened, helpless child. And you have God's eternal promise that He'll save you and eternally restore you to fellowship. Verse 45. "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God." You can't be taught of God until you're restored to fellowship with Him. And that restoration only comes when you see your lack of wisdom, your lack of might, your lack of nobility, and you realize that all that's in Jesus, and you come to Him, and then God begins to teach you what things really are like and what the reality of life is all about and why you're down here. "Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." When in your heart God's Spirit begins to impress upon you, "I'm real. I'm who I claim to be. I created you. I want you to come to me and to be restored with fellowship to me." When you know that God is real and you believe that God created the earth and that God is your God, the creator of you and your soul and all that you are, it is that realization that draws you to want to come to Him, to find Him, to be restored to fellowship, and you automatically cometh unto me. "Every man therefore that hath heard." Now you have ears, but this is talking about spiritual ears. And it's talking about God spiritually dealing with you and impressing upon you the fact that you need Him to keep you alive forever in His presence. And you, when you learn of God's greatness and God's love and God's compassion and God's mercy, in coming in the form of a man and dying for you, cometh unto me, you automatically come to Christ. "Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father." When it says he which is of God, he was referring to himself. He said, "I've seen the Father. None of you have." If you want to be restored to fellowship, you've got to come to me. Well, what is fellowship with God? "Well, Kenneth, I've known you for a long time. I have fairly close fellowship with you. I've known Bob. I have a fairly close fellowship with him. Some of you, I have a closer fellowship than others. You know me. You know what I'm like. You know all about me. Do you know what fellowship with God is? It's fellowshipping with him through Christ. That's the only way you can fellowship with God. You have to come to understand what God is like by understanding what Jesus is like. And the more you get to know Jesus, what his life was like, what his ministry is like, the more you come to know him personally and to feel an intimate, close, personal relationship with him, you get to know him through what is recorded of him by the Spirit of God and his Word, and you draw close to God, and that's fellowshipping with God. I've never seen God. I've never personally seen the man Christ Jesus. But I've seen his works recorded in the book. I've seen his life recorded. I give you my word before the Lord. When I was a boy, saved at age 12, I didn't know much about Jesus except he loved me and he died for me. And I knew I didn't have to go to hell. You don't know what it's like to me sometimes. I feel like I've walked with him along the shores of Galilee. I feel like I've been with him at the crucifixion. I feel like I've walked with him with the disciples from place to place. I feel like I've been where he's been. I feel like I've been taught by him and like I was with him when it happened. He's become a close, personal, intimate friend of mine, and yet I've never seen him. I think I know a lot about God now, maybe 1 millionth of 1 jillionth of 1/10 of what there is to know, but I think I've learned a lot about God because I've learned about them by learning about Christ. And I fellowship with God through Christ, who was and is God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Why do you have to come to Christ to be restored to fellowship? And what is fellowship? Fellowship is an everlasting, unbreakable, spiritual bond established by God at the point of your giving up and acknowledging that you're sinful. You can't help yourself, and you just trust Jesus Christ to restore you to complete fellowship with God. And here's what you receive, and this is what fellowship is. Some people call it being converted. Some people call it being saved. Some people call it being born again. Some people call it being regenerated. Some people call it restored to fellowship, and here it is. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. An everlasting fellowship with God. It's a present active indicative that is used for hath. It means at the point of your trust in Christ, you have it forever. You say, well, I don't know how to do it. That's the whole point. You don't know how to do it. And when God's Spirit deals with you, you just trust Jesus to do it. And that's the end of it. John 5, 40, 41. He told them, this group of men, why they didn't have fellowship with his Father. They thought they knew his Father. They believed in God. And some of you sitting here may believe in God and you may end up in hell. You say, well, I can't believe God would send you to hell if I believed in him. Oh, my friend, you don't even know God. James said, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. It is placing your faith in that God. And that God is the man Christ Jesus. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. These men to whom he spoke these words did not have fellowship with God. Why? They'd never been restored. Why not? And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. They thought they were noble. They thought they were mighty. They thought they were wise. This morning, in many buildings like this, there are many different groups that are meeting. In these buildings, many of the people sitting on these pews believe in God. But they do not believe in Jesus Christ. Because they believe that they must help Jesus. They believe that in order to be restored to fellowship with God, it requires an effort on their part. And they have to do this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and then maybe, if they do this, and this, and this, and this, and this, well enough, if they do it well enough, then maybe When they die, God will accept them. I bow before God and stand before man and testify, knowing I must face Jesus at the judgment seat. I tell you that you are either restored to full fellowship with God while you are alive in this body, or you will not be resurrected from the dead, except to be judged at the great white throne of judgment and cast into hell because you never knew Him. When you come to understand that one lone, single, solitary man hung alone at Calvary and there suffered and bled and died, and His blood ran down the cross, and an agony of a spiritual torment that was equivalent to your punishment in hell, He experienced in body, soul, and spirit. And there, a man who had never known sin in his life, the only perfect man who ever lived, born of a virgin, had all of our sins laid upon Him. And He took them in His own body on the tree and carried them to His grave, and thus forever made it possible for us to be restored to His Father by His sacrifice and the completeness and the fullness of it. You can put your full faith and trust in that man. You can trust with all your heart. And as God's Spirit draws you, your yielding to that Spirit is what allows God to restore you to fellowship. These men were not restored to fellowship. Why not? They wouldn't come to God. They wouldn't come to Christ. They were mighty in the work. They were religious. They were men who believed in God. They were men who came to synagogue every Saturday. They were men who offered sacrifices to God. They were men who tried to please God, but they tried to do it their own way, and they kept looking for the perfect way to please God. Jesus is the perfect way, and everything else is imperfect. And when you come to Jesus, He gives you everlasting life, and that is full, complete restoration to God forever. You say, well, it sounds like God does it all. That is exactly what happens. That's what faith is. Trusting in the ability of God to do it all and to keep on doing it forever. I receive not honor from men. One of the most interesting things about salvation is that you can't go to heaven without honoring the Son. Now, as you're looking at these things, I'm going to ask you to remember something. Don't you dare for one moment say or think, that's just His opinion. You are face to face with the living Word of Almighty God. This isn't my opinion. This is God's opinion. You've got to honor the Son to go to heaven. Restoration to God's eternal fellowship can only occur through honoring His only Son. In John 5:40, He said, and you will not come to Me that you might have life. In verse 41, He said, I receive not honor from men. These men were not honoring Him. How do you honor Jesus? You accept Him for who He is, the one Son of God to bear the sins of the whole world and hang alone and suffer and bleed and die at Calvary. And then He tells you about Himself. He says, far as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, Zoes makes them alive, even so the Son quickeneth, makes alive whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. You're going to be judged by the living Son of God. And why did God choose to restore fellowship to Himself through His Son? Verse 23, that all men should honor the Son. Jesus said, I receive not honor from men. Now, please, I beg of you, if you think that you have to go to church to get to heaven, you're headed straight to hell. If you think that you have to be baptized to go to heaven, you're headed straight for hell. If you think that you have to work and do this and do that and do this and do that, and maybe finally God will accept you, you're headed straight for hell. I warn you before the living God, you're headed straight for hell. You're not honoring the Son, because Jesus did it all. You say, well, shouldn't I go to church? Yes, but only because you've been restored to fellowship through the efforts and work of Almighty God in Christ. Should I be baptized? Absolutely. To be saved? God forbid. You should go into the baptismal waters already a saved, born-again child of God, already restored to fellowship with God. And you should go into those baptismal waters in obedience. In obedience, not to be saved, but because you are saved. And when you go into those baptismal waters, you are picturing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Christ who saved you before you ever entered into the waters. Salvation is by Jesus Christ. It is not by baptism. It is not by works. It is not by anything that man could ever do. I honor the Son because He alone is the full price for my sins. Who do you honor? I warn you this morning, I tell you this in love, and I tell it in compassion. If you're trying to help God save you, you're headed straight for hell. What you have to do is to trust God alone in His work that Jesus did at Calvary to save you, and nothing else. Why did God commit all judgment to the Son? He's the one that's going to judge you. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which hath sent Him. Now listen to the words of Christ. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. You've been looking at His word on the screen this morning. Forget me, I'm just a little insignificant, fat, short twerp. Don't amount to a hill of beans. But here is the King of kings, Lord of lords, God of gods, and that's His words you see on that screen. He that heareth my word. This morning, as you've looked at these words on the screen and as God's Spirit dealt with your heart, are you willing to do what it says? And believeth on Him that sent me. Do you believe that God the Father sent the Son, and God the Father clearly delineated that the Son was to come who knew no sin and to bear our sins that we might receive eternal life, eternal restoration to fellowship with Him forever? If you do, then you've got something that's marvelous. Hath everlasting life. Hath is a present indicative active. I have it right now. I don't have to wait to see if I'm going to get to go to heaven. I don't have to wait to see if I did enough in this life to please God. Jesus did enough to please and satisfy His Father forever, and I have been restored to God through what Jesus did. I was baptized not to be saved, but because I was saved, because I had been restored to fellowship. I serve and work and preach and teach in the church, not because it allows me to go to heaven, but because the grace, the unmerited favor of God saved me, and I'm working for the Lord not to be saved, but because I am saved. If you keep going to church and trying to please God and get the Holy Spirit off your back, and you keep wondering, maybe I can do this, if I'll keep doing that, maybe I can have some peace with God, you'll never have any peace with God until you give up. You'll never have any peace with God until you finally make up in your mind, Lord, I surrender. I trust Your Son. I can't do anything. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was the publican's prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The publican did not think he was noble. He did not think he was mighty. He did not think he was wise. He knew what he was. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when he came trusting God to do the work and put his faith in God's ability to save him and keep him saved, then that publican was saved. That publican was restored to fellowship with God. You don't come to God standing up. You come to God on the knees of your heart. And believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What is a passage of death unto life? God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Some people call it regeneration. Some call it converted. Some people call it born again. Some people call it saved. It's a restoration to fellowship with God. And here's another way of saying it. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Is passed from non-fellowship with God into a new relationship with God through the life that Christ gives, which is an everlasting fellowship with His Father. If you don't have it, I implore you this morning, I implore you, if God's Spirit is dealing with you, and if you've looked at this and you've realized that isn't true in my life, I've been working, I've been trying to find the perfect way to please God, I've been trying to do this, just give it up this morning. Give it up and do what God's Spirit leads you to do. Just trust Jesus to save you from what you are. John 3, 35, 36, 17 through 19. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hands. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, that the wrath of God abideth on me. I have the Son. I see life. I understand what eternal life is, and I understand in whom it is placed. It is placed in Christ and Christ alone, and he chooses to give it to those who come to him, seeking it as an absolute unmerited favor, a gift of God that he extends out to you, a sinner, to receive. God can only save sinners. If you don't recognize yourself as a sinner, if you don't see yourself as helpless, you don't need a Savior. I have a Savior because I am helpless and I am a sinner. And so I have a Savior. And my Savior is perfect. And my Savior is sinless. And my Savior has given me his life. I'm saved. I'm regenerated. I'm converted. I'm born again. I'm restored to fellowship by Jesus. By Jesus alone. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on the Son, he that believeth on him, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. If you choose to remain in darkness this morning, and refuse to accept the truth that you've seen on this screen, what you've chosen to do is to refuse to be restored to fellowship with God through trusting in the works of Jesus to save you. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know what your spiritual condition is, but I know this. God is a spirit, and God deals with spiritual conditions. You can sit here and fight it all morning long. You can seek diversions to run away from it. Let me tell you what you're doing. You are running away from eternal life, and you are running as fast as you can toward eternal damnation in hell forever. Men tend to want to remain in darkness. They don't want to come out in the light. This morning I've shown you that you don't go to heaven without honoring the Son. And honoring someone means to have full confidence and trust in them, and not in yourselves. This morning, if you need a Savior, he's as close as your request. And as we have this invitation, and as Johnny and Kay come, if you need a Savior, there's only one. His name is Jesus Christ. I can't save you. You can't save yourself. Right where you're sitting in this silent moment of prayer, if God's Spirit's dealing with you, if as you've heard these scriptures and you've looked at them on the screen, you've looked in your own heart and you've seen, I'm not saved. I haven't been restored to fellowship. I don't know salvation. I am trying to save myself. In these next few silent moments, I'm going to ask you to simply go to Jesus Christ in whatever words you can find. Come to him as a sinner and ask him to save you from what you are, and you have God's assurance that he'll do it, that he'll never leave you and never forsake you, and you have that opportunity in these next few moments. Lord, bless this invitation as you see fit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What number, Johnny?
383.
Please stand.